Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for this Saturday, April the 4th, and Sunday, April the 5th. What a great joy it is. Of course, this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to say there. And I just want to say that I praise the Lord for being on the radio. And all of you that are in the Winston-Salem, Walkertown area, if you're getting this on Saturday, especially, give you a little notice. But on Sunday, I'm with Brother Gary Stiers there at the Liberty Baptist Church for the sunrise service, 8 a.m., and then the preaching service, Sunday school and preaching to follow that. Of course, they'll have a meal and then that. And we're looking forward to a great day. And I praise the Lord for it. And we thank God for him, and we thank God for each one of you. Now, let me welcome our newest station officially. Now, we've been on the station for about a month, and I appreciate what has been done there. But I want to welcome KLNG Radio in Omaha, Nebraska. I praise the Lord for being able to be on this great station. And I want to say a personal hello to all of you in Omaha, Nebraska, and surrounding areas. I'm certainly glad to have you listening Saturday afternoons, 12:30 Central Time, right here on KLNG Radio. And it's a joy to have you listening. And then our radio audience, this is part of our Reaching America project. And we're still continuing to try to raise money through the month of April. We'll be doing the project. And we've got another opening now that we can take by the end of the month. We're going to try to raise $3,100. And if we can do that, we're going to be going into Tucson, Arizona as well. And so you pray for us about that. So that's something I'd like to see the Lord do. And we're asking 1,000 people across America to give to give $10 a month for the next year, or a one-time gift of $120. And we're just trying to be transparent. As of the time we're taping this, we've probably had 30, maybe 30 people take us up on that, maybe more, maybe less, but some have given more money, so it's hard to count. Now, you know, you say, well, shouldn't you have had more that took you up on it? Well, I'd love to have seen 500 took us up. I'd love to have seen 1,000 of them take us up. We could take a lot of radio stations on. But people are responding to it just about every day or two. We're getting somebody responding to it, and I thank God for it. And, of course, this is new. We launched it this year, and we'll plan to come back next year in about February and then, you know, raise some more funds with it, if the Lord will let us do that. But I'm looking forward to broadcasting over these stations, and I praise the Lord for getting into some areas outside the South, where that maybe there's not as many churches and things as they are in the South, and I'd like to just reach some people for the glory of God. And I like different parts of the country. There, you know, there's more churches than you think they are all across our country in different states, and people love the Lord in different states, different parts of our country. And I love meeting people. I love people writing us, and I try to be real. I try to be honest with people. I'm not in preaching for money or gain. I'm in preaching to win souls to Jesus Christ and to see the saints stirred for the glory of God. If you'd like to be a part of this project, you can go to our website, gbiradio.org, and get all of our mailing information, and we'll give you the mailing address at the end. But quickly, GBI is how you make the check if you want to do it. And then GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina 27017. I would like to say this. I'd like to see who will be the first person to write us from the KLNG listening area. I'd like to know. That would be great. Amen. I'd like to know who would be the first person to write us from that area. And I'd like to pass at least the acknowledgement that we got a letter. If they don't want their name mentioned, that'd be fine. But I'd like to at least not acknowledge the letter. All right, we got to get into our message. And we're studying out of Psalm 59. And we're going to go back and finish the message we started on last week. The men of Saul have surrounded his house. This is when Psalm 59 was probably penned that night before David escaped. By the way, David took time to write a psalm. How many of us would have took time to write a song if the king and all his men surrounded our house and we was married to the king's daughter? And you didn't know if you was going to live or die, because she sure wasn't living for God. She had an image in the house. And David took time to write a psalm. Now, brother, I'm going to say this to you. David was dependent on God. David knew those men meant business. David knew those men's outside the door. And David knew they meant business. David said, "Awake, God." In other words, there's no way out of this, Lord. They've surrounded the house. If the house had two doors, I guarantee you they had men watching both doors. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, she outsmarted them. She knew intelligence. Somehow she knew where those men were. I believe she knew they was watching the house. She knew where they were. And so she got David out a window, which is very smart. But God always has a way out for a man. He always has. Look at verse number 5. "Thou therefore, O Lord, God of hosts." Now, I've not studied that term extensively, but that term, I believe, is a battle term in the Bible. O Lord of hosts. May I tell you, God's the God of battle. Amen. He's the God of our battle. Thank God that He is. Amen. The Bible said in one place, the battle is the Lord's. You see, many times we think the battle is ours. Well, I'm fighting such a hard battle. The battle's God's. Now, let me say something. If I'm walking in the will of God, it is God's will whatever happens to me. Whether men revile me, whether they reproach me, or whether I come out of it. There's been things in my life I didn't know if I was coming out of it or not. I've had things happen, but I tell you, God's helped me. And I would say to you that God knows everything. Amen. Here in verse number 5, "Thou therefore, O Lord, God of hosts." He's the God of the battle. The God of Israel. David has his patriots. David ain't lost his faith in his country. By the way, I don't want to lose my faith in my country. I believe this. I believe we get the right people in office, we could have revival in our country again. I believe we could get back to believing the Constitution and functioning the way our forefathers laid this thing out. I don't believe we'd have all the mess we've got. We've had some men with too many ideas that's went away from the Constitution. And our government, if you study the way our democracy was set up, it had to be the hand of God that set it up. And we've went so far away from it that we've messed up and we've got things out of line. That's why the Senate and the House of Representatives can't work together now. But that's enough of that. I mean, I'm just telling you, all right? He said this, my friend. He said, the God of Israel. He was patriotic. Amen. He knew he'd be king over Israel one day. He said, "Awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah." He said, "Lord, don't have no mercy on them." Now, he said, "Preacher, is it right to pray that?" Absolutely. I don't think David would have been in the wrong spirit praying that. Sometimes it's right to say, "God, don't have mercy on them." I mean, listen, there are people today ought to be paid back for what they've done. There are people that's went against the church, they've went against the preacher, they've went against the man of God, and brother, they sit by and nothing's happened to them. Why, listen, they ought to pay for their sin. You lay your hands on a man of God, you ought to pay for it. You should never say anything about any man of God. Amen. You should keep out of the man of God's business. And God's not called 40 people to pastor one church. Well, I just don't like the way this preacher does this. I don't like the way he does that. Well, he probably don't like a lot of things about you either. Amen. But you better be careful where you put your hands, my friend. You see, we've quit preaching things like in the book of Kings. The book of 2 Kings, Elisha goes down through there and those 42 children, small children, I believe they wasn't 3 or 4 years old. And they made fun of his bald head. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Where'd they get that at? They didn't come up with that. Where'd they get that at? They learned that from their mom and daddy. And I tell you what, this generation's learned a lot of stuff at home. Mom and daddy sit and barbecued the preacher, and they've had him for lunch, supper, and dinner. They've fried him, they've barbecued him, they've grilled him, they've done everything else, talked about him. And how in the world can you expect your children to turn out right when you're going down the preacher all the time? You know what? I love my pastor, and I'm not going to let anybody talk about my preacher. I'm not going to listen to it, okay? You say, "I don't agree with your preacher on everything." Well, listen, I'm going to tell you what, that's between you and God, but I'm not going to listen to it. Amen. I'm going to walk forward for God. I'm not going to listen. Matter of fact, I'm not going to listen to people put down any man of God. Amen. Listen, brother, men of God are struggling. Men of God are having it hard. Men of God, some of them are trying to fight the battle right now, and they don't need a bunch of preachers to attack them on the side. We need to pray for each other. Amen. Here's David. Now, brother, he's asking God. He said, "Don't you have mercy on this crowd?" Now, let's go on. Let's look at some other things he said, because that ain't all of it. Amen. Now, let's look on, and we'll see verse number 6. I'm in Psalm 59, and we're studying the 59th Psalm as it corresponds to 1 Samuel 19. All right. Now, so Psalm 59, 6, the Bible said they return at evening. The Bible said they make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Now, David compared these men to dogs. Now, a dog wasn't like it is in our day. Now, people take dogs in their home, and if you've got a dog, I'm not mad at you. I know the majority of people listening to me has got a pet, so I don't make anybody mad. But I'm going to say this to you, amen. Dogs have their place, and humans have their place, and a dog is not equal with a human, amen. I saw something the other day. It's talking about pet parents. There is no such thing as pet parents. I want you to understand that. And if that offends you, you need to go pray about that. Amen. God did not elevate a dog to the status of a human baby. I want you to understand that. Amen. Did you know right now they'll do more with you for killing a dog than they would having an abortion in some places? Matter of fact, there's some people right now listening to me, and you believe it's more harm to do something to a dog than you do have an abortion. How could you believe in abortion and believe it and the other way around? You understand what I'm saying? But David compared these men to dogs. Boy, I've got some people riled up now. But David compared these folks. You see why I don't get a lot of meetings, don't you? But David compared these people to dogs. I mean, a dog was an unclean animal in that day. Matter of fact, I could go a lot deeper with that if you study the Hebrew meaning of that word. It's a vile, vile word. And David compared these men to dogs. I mean, that's what they were. Amen. They were wicked, wicked men. And he said they go about the city. In other words, they're going about trying to see how they might undermine David, how they might bring David down. I mean, Saul had a crowd. God had already told Saul. He said, Saul, you're not going to be king. And Samuel had nothing else to do with Saul, and Saul just turned plumb wicked. And Saul got men around him, apparently, some of them didn't follow God. And he had some pretty wicked fellows working in his kingdom. I tell you, when you get away from God, somebody said, oh, if you're saved, you won't do this, that. You get away from God, it's not telling you what you may do. I heard about a man got away from God and killed somebody. He's in prison. He's saved, but he's in prison. Now, I'll say this. I believe in the chastening hand of God. I believe Saul died a premature death. I believe that Saul was chastened, and I believe Saul's going to face God in the judgment again for how he handled Israel. All right. Now, David compared these men to dogs. All right, so now let me say this to you. A dog was a reproach, so it was a reproach to call a man a dog. Now, verse number 7, all right, the Bible said, now watch this. He said, behold, they belch out with their mouths, swords are in their lips. For they say, the Bible said, for who, say they, doth hear? Now, he said, these men talk evil. They say some bad things. They say some hurtful things. Why, he said, they got swords in their lips. Now, can you imagine that? You know, there's been some hurtful things said. You, some of you men of God have had some hurtful things said to you. But you not realize it's the devil's crowd that rise up against you? You say, but preacher, I believe those people were saved that went against me. They probably were, but saved people sometimes are used by the devil. Why, you know what? The worst thing in the world is somebody attack your wife. Now, over the last 17 years, me and my wife have been married. I love my wife, Christy, but I say to Christy, welcome to the ministry. Amen. She has been attacked like I have. And I say this to you. You know, some people say, well, you attack me. You can attack me, but don't attack my wife. And I agree with that statement. You can say about anything you want to me, but when you attack my wife, it's on another level. I'll be honest about that. Amen. But I'm going to say this. We try to be Christians about it. We're not going to be bitter about any attacks we've ever had in 17 years. We're certainly not going to be, and we certainly ain't going to tell you about them. And we certainly ain't going to tell you where they come from, what they did. We just ignore it and go on. Amen. We realize that you're going to have that kind of stuff. And you say, well, I'm a preacher's wife. And oh, how they've attacked me in the ministry. And, well, listen, if you quit now, you're going to hurt your husband's ministry. You're going to cause more damage by quitting. I encourage you to go on. Amen. Get you some grace. Welcome to the ministry and just carry on, lady. Amen. I mean, just be strong. But get you some prayer. Get you some Bible. Get you some encouragement. And realize that God's looking on them. Amen. And God's going to judge them. God will judge them for how they do you. Oh, there's been a plenty of preacher and preacher's wife had to cry his way out of a community where he's run off from a church. God help any crowd that'll run a preacher off. Amen. God help you. God's around the corner and judgments are coming. Amen. God help you. Now, the word belch is an interesting word. He said they belch out with their mouths. It's only found one time in the Bible. I can add that to my list of words, only found once in the Bible. Now, the word belch means to gush forth. It means to admit a foul odor. In other words, these men were saying things they had no right saying. I mean, they were saying hurtful things, lying stuff on David. And by the way, they'd forgot David. They'd still be under bondage to the Philistines if David hadn't killed Goliath. David was the only man alive. And by the way, when you're the only man does something sometimes, well, everybody's going to attack you. I'll give you an illustration. You take the King James Bible. You say, preacher, you say something about that about every message you preach. I do. You take the King James Bible. If it ain't the truth, why do all these other versions and all these other religions attack the King James? Well, we got fundamentalists now that attack the King James Bible. Brother, I'm not going to attack it. I'm going to preach it. Amen. I believe every word in it. Amen. I believe it word for word, and I believe it literally. Amen. The Bible said what it meant and meant what it said. I believe the Bible when it said that Daniel went into a den of lions. I believe the Bible when it said the Red Sea was dried up and the children of Israel marched across it. I believe the Bible when it said that Noah built an ark. And by the way, I believe the Bible when it said that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And if the Bible had said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that too. I believe, by the way, you know what Abraham Lincoln told a fella? He said, take all the Bible you can on reason and believe the rest of it on faith. Amen. I'm to believe the Word of God on faith, amen. Sometimes I can't see what God's doing, but I'm to believe, amen, I believe. And these men were belching out lies. And the Bible said in Matthew 12:36, he said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. See, judgment ain't come yet. It's coming. All right, now look at verse number 8, Psalm 59. He said, but thou, O Lord, he said, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have the heathen in derision. You know what God's going to do? And derision means to laugh or scorn. God's going to laugh at them. All these enemies, God just laughs at them. When these men, and I believe a lot of them get perverted in their mind, I believe God gives them up to reprobate mind, they go after the preacher. And I believe that. I believe that. Amen. I had somebody write several pages of a document, I guess it was, many years ago. This is many years ago, against one of our radio stations, and told us why they'd never listen and all this kind of thing. Well, I let God judge things like that. You know what? I never read that thing. I didn't have time to read it. You say, what'd you do with it? I threw it in the trash. Why, brother, I'm not going to read stuff like that. I've had people over the years that call me on the phone and try to get me to promote their thoughts. I say this, get your own radio broadcast. If you raise your own money, sweat and bleed and pray and do what I've done. And get your own, don't come to me, want me to do your preaching for you. No, on this broadcast, I'm preaching Jesus Christ and the King James Bible, hell hot, sin black, heaven sweet, and the Bible right. Amen, that's what I'm going to do. Verse number 9. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Now, the psalmist said, Lord, now he's got people outside his house. Let's get the picture again. He's got people outside his house. They're going to take him into captivity. They're going to kill him. And these are men from Saul. They're outside his house, and David's in there writing the 59th Psalm, I believe. And he said this. He said, I'm going to wait on you, God. Now, David did not realize, David's probably 20-year-old at this time, and some Bible scholars believe it was at least 10 years, and I believe probably about that timeline. David didn't realize, but the worst part of the battle was yet to come. When we get into 1 Samuel 20, 21, 22, 23, you're going to see the anguish of a young man. You're going to see a young man put through the fire, buddy. You're going to see it. And let me say this, when God puts a man or a woman through the fire, it does not mean that God does not like you or love you. I want you, well, if God loved me, he wouldn't do this. Hold your mule. It means God does love you when he's trying you. I'm going to say something else. It is not God's will to heal every disease and everything that happens to people. Oh, but preacher, if we have enough faith, God will heal. Sometimes faith don't have anything to do with it. Amen. They don't. Amen. Did you know Moses could have had all the faith he wanted to that he is going to get to walk in the promised land, but God told him to shut his mouth. Moses prayed to God, and I believe three times about it, and God said, don't you come to me with this no more. You say, well, preacher, you're awful bold. Well, yeah, I have to get your attention some way or another. Amen. Can I say to you that faith, we're living in a day and our people don't even know the Bible. And people are so weak-minded, they think somebody posting something about them on social media is a trial. Brother, if that's all the trials I had, I wouldn't have, because I tell you what, I don't get on it much. Amen. I don't know much about it. Be honest, and I'm glad I don't. I'm not knocking it. It can be used for good, and I've got sermons on it, I reckon, where I preached in churches, and they've filmed, and that's all right. Boy, ain't I a good-looking fellow on that video. Good night. I believe I'd rather be on. I'm what the Lord made me, so I'm not down on myself, but I don't want to be, but I'm not. I'd rather preach on audio than I would video. I really had. But anyway, if you video me, it's okay when I come to your church. It's fine. Amen. It may boost your ratings. Post a good-looking fellow like me up there. It may boost your ratings, and people may come from far and near and view it. Amen. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. My friend, we're going to be attacked. We're going to go through trials. And David said, I'm going to wait on God. Now, here's the problem. Many people start into a trial, and boy, they get halfway in it, and they give up. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being fed. I'm tired of fighting the people down at the church. I'm tired of fighting. And some preacher's wife will walk off and say, I'm done with it. I'm tired of fighting. I ain't going to fight no more. And boy, the devil knows that. He goes after the weakest person in the world. It ain't just the preacher. The devil goes after the preacher. I'm trying to help some preacher's wives. Women, you ought to get you a double bucket of grace and just keep on going for the glory of God. Your kids and your husband and the work of God, just get you some grace and go forward. Amen. And I want to say this to the preachers. That's what the devil wants you to do. Don't you walk off from that church. Don't you throw your ticket away just cause your train's going through a tunnel, brother. Let me tell you, the devil had worked against David. David said, I'm going to wait on God. By the way, we don't hear that preached much anymore, do we? You see, we ain't got time to wait on God. We want to go, 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 go. We want to be busy, busy, busy. There are times you're going to have to wait on God. There are times God don't give the answer right away. Oh, but I ain't got to so many years, and I've got to have the answer. Hogwash. I prayed for a wife. When I was 24, when I was 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39 year old. Before I ever started talking to the girl that would be my wife, and I married her when I was 40. I was almost 41 and I got married. Let me tell you something, brother. I lacked about 2 months and about 59 days being 40 year old, somewhere in that area, 59, 60 days. Let me tell you something, friend. It's worth the wait. Brother, sometimes we need to slow down. And David waited 10 years. You know, when Samuel went down there and anointed David to be king, you remember that? Oh, David could have had himself a time. And David could have said, praise God. He could have said, man, I'm going to be king right now. But you know what? It's probably 10, 11, 12 years before he was ever king. He had to go through a lot of stuff before God ever put him on the throne. And the devil will come to you, preacher, say, you're getting old. He's come to me and said, you ain't got time to wait. You're getting old. I got time to wait as long as God wants me to wait. Let me tell you something, brother. Sometimes your trials ain't over in a night. You got to wait on God. Listen, there are things, if I'd have took them in my own hands, I'd have wrecked my ministry. I'd have wrecked it. And I believe God just wants me to slow down here and help you. I don't care if we preach 937 sermons on the life of David. I'm trying to help you. And brother, let me tell you something. There's some preacher and preacher's wives. There's some of you preacher's wives. I don't know why God's got me on that. But I tell you, if you don't wait on God, if you don't slow down, you're going to wreck your husband's ministry. You're going to wreck the church. Listen, you need to get a double bucket of grace and say, God, I'm going to just stay in there for you. I want to ask you ladies something. Listen to me. Who saved you? You say, but preacher, you don't understand what they done to me. I can imagine. But I ask you again, who saved you? You say, preacher, you ever been hurt in church? I've been cussed, lied on, talked about. Why, brother, I've been accused of everything. But let me tell you something. I realize it ain't a deacon that saved me. It ain't a church that saved me. It ain't some preacher that saved me. And I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm a member of a Bible-preaching local church, and I'm glad for it. Thank God. And I'm going to stay in the church. Why? Because upon this rock, I, Jesus Christ, built my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church ain't going down. It's going up. There's going to always be problems in the church. There'll be problems in the church to the day of rapture. And if you find a good church, amen, and you think it's a perfect church, you better not join it because you'll mess it up. You ain't perfect, brother. There is no perfect church. I meet these people all the time and say, preacher, would you recommend me a church? And what they want me to do is recommend them a church where that believes exactly the way they do and cross all the T's and dot every I exactly the way they want it done. It ain't out there. There's people that they got bunny rabbit religion. Now, I believe there's times you have to move. You move in the will of God. But I believe there's people got bunny rabbit religion. They hop to this church every 6 months, and 6 months later they're over there. They hop, hop, hop all their life. And I'm going to tell you, you'll be doing that all your life. There's no church perfect, my friend. You get where God wants you. You stay where God puts you and say what God bids you. How about that? I love you, every one of you. Amen. David waited on the Lord. He waited on God. David's enemies was strong, but David waited upon God. Amen. Amen. Note it was a long wait. It was a long wait. Now, I love this verse in the Bible. Boy, God, about 2 years ago, I was so burdened down. So burdened. About 2 years ago, I went in my office. And as I went through my office door at home, I've got a study at home, office at the house. I've got one at the building, the ministry building. And as I went through the door, God put this verse on my heart. And me and my wife have literally seen this verse fulfilled. I told her about it. I said, God's put this verse on my heart. We've watched her be fulfilled, boys. Right here it is. Psalm 46, verse number 10, be still. Be still. You know what's wrong with you, preacher? You can't get still long enough. I just can't sit still. We got to have a racket on all the time, don't we? Television playing in the background. Music playing in the background. Get in the car. You got to have satellite radio or radio on. You got to have something playing in the background. If it's at home, it's some noise. Amen. I mean, listen. Why not get with God? Why not just be still before God where nothing's at? Be still. That word means for you to cease your own ways of thinking. Cease your own ways of doing. I know what I'll do. I'll go there and give them a piece of my mind. You keep passing that pie out long enough, you won't have none left, brother. Fighting people is not the answer. You ever had this? Somebody call you on the phone. Now, brother, give me some scripture so I can lay it to them. I ain't be involved in nothing like that. I'm not going to give you any scripture to arm you with anybody. I ain't going to do that. You know what we need to do? We need to be like Brother Sammy Allen was one time. They're sitting around a bunch of preachers having supper, and boy, this young fella, he started laying into this fella. He's telling all the bad stuff about this guy, and everything Brother Sammy had heard about, all of it, he could hear. Brother Sammy started, he said, young man, you know how Brother Sammy talked, he said, young man, he said, you seem to know more about this situation than the rest of us. He said, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer, and let's pray for this brother. Well, Brother Sammy had the right attitude, didn't he? Had the right attitude, amen. He sure did. He had the right attitude. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something, brother. Sometimes we want to fight back. Well, I'll get even with them. I'll get even with them. They attack my children. Well, you see, your children ain't first in the service of the Lord. I know that's hard to take, but God's first. You see, your wife ain't first. Your husband ain't first. Now, listen, I could go make a mistake. When people attack my wife, I could go attack back, but I'm going to ruin the cause of Christ. You see, we've heard preachers get up, well, family's first. If your family's first, you will attack. But if you don't put your family first, if you put God first, put Jesus Christ first, and you won't attack. Now, I'm telling you some pills it's hard to swallow. Boy, you say, preacher, that is hard preaching, but I've experienced. Don't fight back. David said, I'm going to wait on God. David had those men surrounding his house. Boy, they was ready to kill him. I mean, they'd have shed his blood when he walked out of the house. That next one, they'd have popped a sword in him, buddy. And he'd have died. But David didn't fight back. He went and wrote the 59th Psalm. How many of you men when your deacons are against you? And they're surrounded your house out there. They're around your house ready for you to come out. And they said, we'll fight you. We'll whip you, preacher. And you're sitting there and write a song. Any of you men spiritual enough to do that? I don't know if I could do it or not, do you? But I know this. Well, friend, we come to the end of the radio broadcast for this Saturday, April 4th, Sunday, April the 5th. I would encourage you to write us this week. I'd just love to hear from you. When you do write, put the call letters of the station in which you are listing, or the town or whatever, something to identify that. Our mailing address will be given to you at the end of our radio broadcast today, and we certainly thank you for being a part of our radio ministry. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.